Ancient Order is the one taking. That's the agenda for the board of directors of the Sanitary District. Roll call, please.
Director Simon?
Present.
Director Dean?
Here.
Secretary Duncan?
Present.
Vice President Lee?
Present.
And President Young?
General Manager, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No.
Not today.
Okay. We'll move item five, which is the consent calendar, which consists of minutes of consent calendar. Do you want to talk for anything? Is it okay? Well, there was a concern about the equipment the staff uses that doesn't record abstention votes. And I guess it's been fixed and the minutes reflected. Okay. So I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar.
So moved.
Director Lee, second. Aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. Thank you. Move to item six. This is exciting. Mr. General Manager, the introduction of our new employee.
As the board is aware, we've had a long-time district engineer retire recently, but we're extremely lucky to have our new district engineer start with this back about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks,
12 days ago.
12 days ago.
He's an engineer.
very honored to introduce Chatu Abiratna. He has over 13 years of experience solely in wastewater, so his career is dedicated to wastewater treatment. And he's had stints both at Central San and also at SVCW. And he has a Bachelor's of Science from UC Berkeley in Mechanical Engineering, Master's of Science in Environmental Engineering from Johns Hopkins University. And he is a registered professional engineer both as a civil engineer and a mechanical engineer for the state of California. So with that, I would turn it back over to President Young to lead introductions for the board, and then I would suggest having Chatu have some final words before.
Pleasure to be in your presence with all that education. Thank you for being here. We'll start at our far end, and I'll ask Director Simon to introduce himself.
Welcome. My name is Fred Simon. I'm a board member here. I've been on the board going on 7 years now, and I also am an engineer, a civil engineer. I worked for East Bay Mud for a few years and retired from the Contra Costa Water District after 25 years. And this is a great organization that you're in. I'm happy that you're here. We have a good board and we work hard here, very hard, very efficient. And as you see, there's not a lot of staff, but we've got a lot of work to do. And that's what we're here to do. And I'm very happy that you're here with us. Thank you.
My name is Mimi Dean, and I've lived in this area for about 35 years, and I was a middle school teacher, so I've been involved with Oro Loma for many, many years through the Earth Day poster contest, but I did just get elected about a year ago, and my focus, well, is making Oro Loma the best it can be, so thank you for joining us. Look forward to working with you.
Dr. Duncan.
Good afternoon. And welcome to the family. I am Rita Duncan, and I've been on the board since 2016. I have a master's in counseling psychology. I worked as an HR director for many years for a Fortune 500 company in Menlo Park. And I like being on the board. But most of all, my focus is on engagement with our ratepayers and making sure that they're educated on what they need to do to make sure that our collection and our wastewater operates very well. So welcome.
Well, welcome aboard. And my name is Benny Lee, and I've been on the board for 5 years. I have a background in technology, data management, and I've worked for a Fortune 100 company as well as a Fortune 5 million company, right? You'll hear me jokingly say, but with some seriousness, no pressure. So welcome aboard. We look forward to the work that you do. My background obviously includes staff development.
You can see we're all fairly somewhat professional. All of them are professional people. I worked for myself for 50 years. I owned a business out of Oakland for 50 years, and I'm the former mayor of the city of San Leandro, and I'm the senior member of this board. It's really a delight to have you on board. I'm not kidding when I said I'm really in awe of your education and background, and thank you for accepting a position here. And I think we all want the same thing, which is the best for Oro Loma. So thank you. And I'd like to introduce, ask you if you'd like to say a few words.
Yeah.
Tell us all about yourself.
Yeah, I would like to. Oh, sit down. Oh,
just need a mic.
Stand if you want to.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, the members of the board, for the opportunity. I'm very excited to be join the team at Oro Loma and continue the awesome work that Oro Loma's been doing. Thank you.
Thank you. You're more than welcome to stay, but we won't be angry if you leave. Whatever the boss tells you, it's okay with us. So we'll move on to Jimmy. Did you have any other comments to make? You're welcome. So
I asked a question. What community do you live in, or city, I should say?
I live in Alameda County in Pleasanton.
Okay, great.
We'll move on to item 7, staff presentation, results of the 2025 customer survey. Mr. Manager?
Yes. Every 2 years, we conduct a customer service survey to try to understand more information about our community. Trying to put the presentation as we talk. More information about from our customers about our community, about our services. And this is the newly updated survey that was conducted by Terry, our community and outreach specialist. And so she's here today to present what the results of the survey are. So with that, I'll turn it over to Terry.
Thank you, Jimmy. So what, are you clicking through? Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So we're going to move on to the next slide. To start with a quick refresher, this survey was designed to serve as the baseline for the 2025-2027 Communication Engagement and Outreach Strategy Plan. It gives us a clear starting point to measure progress and refine our approach over the next few years. Moving on to the next slide. With that context in mind, here are a few highlights about how the survey was conducted. This past year's survey was fully digital. It was offered in English, Spanish, and Chinese, and promoted through postcards, social media, and both digital and print newspaper ads. As a result, we received over 400 responses, and 399 were verified as Oro Loma customers. This includes about 24 responses in Spanish and Chinese. With nearly 400 verified responses, that's a significant increase from the previous survey, which netted over 200 responses. By almost doubling our responses through a strictly digital survey, this suggests that our adjusted outreach efforts help expand participation. On to the next slide. Looking next at who we reached, this map shows that respondents were widely dispersed across the district. Rather than clustering in just a few areas, responses came from many different blocks and neighborhoods. While some areas might show lower response counts, this should not be interpreted as a lack of engagement. Overall, the pattern suggests that the survey successfully captured perspectives from across majority of residential areas. Next slide. Thank you. Turning to overall perceptions, the results appear to be very positive. Most respondents say they are familiar or very familiar with Oro Loma, understand our services, and report high satisfaction with trash, recycling, organics, and sewer services. Next slide, please. To put some numbers behind that, roughly 86% of respondents are satisfied or very satisfied with trash collection. And more than 70% report satisfaction with wastewater services, with very few dissatisfied responses. These results closely mirror past surveys, indicating stable, long-term trust in our core services. Shifting to solid waste behaviors, the survey shows an important distinction between policy awareness and practical knowledge. While only about 30% of respondents recognize SB 1383 by name, around 80% say they are mostly or very familiar with what belongs in the recycling cart, and nearly 90% say the same for the organics cart. Most respondents report that they either sort correctly or try to sort, but are sometimes unsure. And they rate proper sorting as very or extremely important, which is exactly the mindset that we want to reinforce. Thank you. This survey also helps confirm which outreach channels are working best. As we previously discussed, about 90 to 95% of respondents recall seeing information on how to sort within the past year, and by far the most common source remains mail or flyers from Oraloma. Local newsletters follow, with social media close behind. Again, this continues to support that prioritizing bill inserts and direct district mailers is the best option for us, with event-based outreach serving as a complementary tool rather than a replacement. Where respondents do report challenges is not the concept of sorting, but with specific tricky items. Comments frequently mention plastic bags, certain plastics by number, milk and beverage cartons, and confusion around compostable versus non-compostable packaging, which I'm sure we've all experienced ourselves. These are exactly the issues that the Recycle Coach app and the Don't Ruin a Good Thing campaign were designed to address, reinforcing that our current focus is aligned with real customer questions. On the next slide, taken together, this baseline tells us a few noteworthy things. First, customers trust our core services and recognize Oraloma. Second, direct mail remains our most effective outreach channel. Additionally, our customers are informed and motivated. They understand the behaviors we're asking for, even if they don't always know the policy name. Last but not least, our greatest opportunity is to continue delivering clear, simple guidance using the channels customers say they actually see, rather than expanding events or launching entirely new initiatives. Looking ahead, staff will use these findings to fine-tune examples, visuals, and reminders within the existing outreach plan, and will report any notable data when the survey is repeated later in 2027. In closing, the key takeaway is that the survey validates the direction already set. We are on track and focused on refining, not reinventing, our approach based on what our customers told us. Thank you.
Thank you. That's it. All right, then I would assume that there might be a few questions. So anybody on this board like to ask a question or make a comment? Dr. Lee.
Well, thank you for the presentation. And, you know, my background, right, I got my degree in business statistics, but the focus was market research. And I can clearly see the work that was done. I love the distribution and participation. What's interesting is that when you take a look at the that area that looks like Fairview, the houses are actually more spread apart than the houses in the San Lorenzo and San Leandro area, because houses are actually much closer. So while the distribution looks kind of spread out, it really is representative of the housing, right? So I'm impressed with the results, and it tells us one thing, of course, right? When you use a title like SB 1383, nobody's going to know what it means, right? It obviously, it has to have some kind of label or theme that we're talking about. Our theme of Love Our Bay really tells a message. We want to keep our bay clean. So I think creating that theme was very, very powerful, and continue to do the great work that you guys do, but I'm very satisfied with the survey.
Thank you.
I have a different slant on it. I really appreciate the improvement from the last survey, and could see the hard work that you've done. But I live in Fairview, so there's 14,000 people. I'm not sure how it correlates to the accounts, but I counted, and so there was only 50 respondents from my area. And I don't have anything to compare it to, but what I would like, and not necessarily for you to follow up on, but next time if you could correlate it to the accounts. I know we have 31,645 accounts, and I'm not sure how many accounts there are in the Fairview area, but to me, that would tell a different story because I know it is scattered, but my concern is the multifamily units, particularly in Ashland and Cherryland. I'm not sure how we get feedback from them because, you know, many of the landlords would probably be responding to the survey, but really appreciate the work that you've done.
Thank you. We'll keep that in mind for 2027.
I didn't hear you.
I said, thank you. We will keep that in mind for 2027.
You know, I didn't think about that until Rita brought it up. She makes a very good point. We should really try. I don't know how many multifamily units we have in Ashland, Cherryland, but it might be a good idea to find out how many buildings we have and perhaps hand that survey out to somebody like Perla, who could literally distribute the survey to all the residents within that multifamily unit. And that's a very good point, Rita, because they're the people who need it the most. So good idea to try to include that for next year. You know, the thing that I took away from the whole report was the 30% who knew what 1383 was and the 50% that had zero idea. And I'm not sure how we manage that, although we try to promote 1383 all the time.
Well, although they might not know the policy name, it indicates from our survey that they know the behavior. So they are familiar with what is expected.
Right. It's what's expected. But the thing about 1383 that I think is important is it was mandated by the state of California, not by Oraloma.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the people understand that until they get dinged with a bill for something they didn't do correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, those are some of my comments. Thank you, Rita.
I would agree with you. Anyway, you know, as I said, my thing is engagement and education of our customers. And we got a baseline now that 400 know something. I don't know how many of the others don't, but it's a work in progress. So thank you.
So I agree with a lot of what you guys said because I actually really combed through this a lot. And I referred back to our community outreach presentation from May 2025. And I looked at our demographics right now. I'm looking at page 29 out of 61. So I'm thinking about, you know, we're seeing that people like newsletters and stuff like that. But the thing is, 40% of the respondents were over 65. And meanwhile, if you look at our slide deck, about 50% of our people are 29 to 60. And the younger people, people even younger than that, a lot of them live in Ashland and Cherryland. So I just really feel like Ashland, Cherryland, and then this area by the freeway in San Leandro, East 14th, it really seems like there's not a lot of surveys there. So I was just wondering how different the data might come out if we were actually surveying based upon, you know, Boomer, Gen X, Millennial, Gen Z, or Gen Alpha. If, you know, would we find something different? Because I know when I look at stuff like this, I know how do the younger people get their data? And it's not even Facebook, right? It's Instagram and TikTok, right? So maybe if we didn't have 40% of the respondents as boomers, we might see something different. So that really caught my eye. And of course, the single family versus the multifamily homes, I think is a big deal. I really like the way these questions are different than they were before, so that's cool. And I was really hazardous waste really got me. It's page 19 out of 61. The fact that like 25% of the people didn't know what to do with hazardous waste, that really kind of flipped me out a little. Because that seems like, so that's kind of an eye opener to me, right? If they say things like not familiar, a little or somewhat, that says, I don't know what I'm doing. Hazardous waste, and that's kind of a big issue. So these ones look good. I thought that I would like to receive more information or reminders on how to sort properly. And 51% of the people said they didn't. No, they didn't want it. So I kind of found that weird. So only 48% said yes.
But we remember that.
Right. Right. So, right. The age group, I think, really makes a big difference. Right. And then I'm looking at page 23 and I'm seeing that where most people do so, they say no, they know how to sort 55%, 44% are unsure. So, that to me is almost half and half. So, that's kind of an eye opener for me. And you know, this is what I like to do for fun. So I don't know if we could look at this for next time around or if there's another way to collect the data. And I saw that, you know, it looks like public outreach events. What page was that? That it seemed like the most successful thing was the mailers. But maybe if we surveyed more of the other groups more, we would see something different. So hopefully next time around we can collect data from, we can look at those groups from our slide deck from May 2025. That's it. Thank you.
All very good ideas. Director Simon, do you have a comment?
Yeah, thank you. I got a question. On the, well, interested to getting more, what have we done in the past? Is this better?
So previously, my understanding is that we would mail customers randomly through a list generated by Waste Management, and it would be about 2,000 envelopes that we would send out with the surveys physically, and we would physically count them one at a time. And we would get about 200.
200. Okay, so response. So we got better. Okay. I'm still concerned. Compared to the number of customers that we have?
So we did the research, and this is a statistically significant survey in terms of we had the target of 400 based off of the number of customers, and that would make it statistically significant. But we understand, yes, there is an interest in increasing the sample size, which we can do when we allocate more resources. I mean, again, this was to generate a baseline. And so there's definitely ways that we can improve for the next round.
Okay. And statistically significant, this must be a common thing done throughout
the world.
Everywhere.
I think, don't you have
seems like such a small number, though.
It's even with voting.
Yeah, with voting. I mean, 0.8%, but I guess the level of effort you put in, that's what you get out. And they don't want to put a lot of effort in, unfortunately. It seems like getting more data would help. Now, as far as getting information out for next time, and I've mentioned this before, the garbage trucks, and this is probably a contractual thing, but I see our garbage trucks as huge billboards. And I know it's a contractual issue, but I still would like to pursue that at some point. It's a driving billboard, and it doesn't say anything but WM on it. Which is, to me, we're really missing out on getting information out to customers, whether it's a survey or whether it's educating people or whatever. And I've seen it in Dublin. I've seen other agencies do that, where they use that rolling billboard to get information out. So I would like for us to consider where we can take advantage of that with our contract. Another question is with just curious bill inserts, like people, maybe I'm behind on this. We still get bill inserts. Okay.
Yes.
We considered placing a survey in bill inserts.
So we also did a postcard, which was standalone, which reaches the same customers through waste management.
Not all customers. I think what he's saying is if you put a bill insert into everyone's bill, then the survey would be at everyone's house.
Well,
that was all.
I think
that's what you said.
Yeah. Just to get more information, if a bill's already going out, it's just putting a...
We did include a little bit about the survey in the bill insert as well. We had two different... Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm...
For the actual survey to be put in, is that what you're saying?
Either the survey or a QR to the survey or something in the actual bill. Did that happen?
Yes. Yes, we included a QR code.
To how many
in the
people?
And the bill insert. I don't have the numbers with me right now, but we can get that for you later.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be interested. More the better. Okay. And as far as the data that came in about how well people are sorting and things like that, how does that correlate to what we're actually seeing during our, I forgot what you call the term.
Audit. Called an audit.
Yeah, when you sift through the garbage.
Doing that audit now.
We don't know. It's supposed to come out the end of this month. The results of the sorting and.
All right. So will we compare that to what people are saying to what we're actually seeing?
I think that. Go ahead.
Yes, we'll do that.
Okay, I'd be interested to see those results. Thank you.
Director Lee is next.
After listening to some of the comments, I think probably would be helpful is to see some cross-tabbing analysis, you know, on age group, area, city, and, you know, city and census-designated place like Ashland, Cherryland, Fairview. That would help us kind of break down, you know, behaviors by those areas, but also behaviors by, you know, age groups. That, knowing those numbers, will also tell us where we may be deficient specifically with the age groups or possibly with the areas. Also, what I heard today, right, is housing type. You know, whether you're living in a house or you're living in multifamily, we can capture that information. That information is also available on the county's open data website, where you can get the parcel information and the housing type just as well. I think the clear message here is, you know, hey, it's great that we got the you know, the 399. There's an interest, of course, on figuring out some strategies on how we can increase that number for the next time. But I think from a baseline perspective, this is a very good baseline. Cross-tabbing some of that information will probably tell us areas that where we may have some greater challenges in terms of the knowledge. And I'd be really interested in seeing, you know, the different age groups in terms of what they see, their understanding in terms of the sorting capabilities.
I wanted to go back to the distribution of the survey. I know myself and 2 years ago, Director Salzman, our request was for it to be sent out via email, but if I'm remembering, it wasn't supposed to be just exclusively to email. It was supposed to be a combination, because before we were not using email, but a lot of people, and you'll find out if you look at, you know, some of the data, you know, do not respond to emails. And sometimes they go into spam. But just, you know, to Director Simon's point, you know, maybe distributing the survey and different methods would give us some different feedback.
Yes, just to recap, you know, speaking to email, we did have it in our newsletter email version. We also had it in the postcards, the bill insert. We also had print ads and digital ads through Bay Area News Group.
and all over our social media.
So I hear you.
To not just have a digital.
Right. People, to me, it's an additional step, and I'm not going to take that additional step to answer a survey unless I'm going to get something back. I'm just saying, for my experience, it's easier to respond to something, you know, maybe not as many. I don't know how many you sent out. You said you got 399 back. You distributed verified to how many?
Across the board.
To clarify, so before we used to send it to 2,000 random, try to scatter it amongst the district, got the list from Waste Management, and that was a paper envelope sent, mailed, you'd mail it back, and then we tabulate. So we got rid of that altogether. So that we're not sending it to anyone. This is just a digital survey.
But that wasn't what we had discussed, but that's fine. We can go forward because it was my recommendation and Director Stelzman to also send it out digitally. But I'm okay with that. I'm just saying that it should be more than just digital, period, in my perception. And maybe you can, you know, have some further discussion on what you think the return in investment would be. But the other option is also when we are at these events to have a survey.
Yeah, and that was definitely discussed. Like we definitely had that idea because it's free. I mean, hundreds of people walking by, and what's hard is that the survey period wasn't really aligned with the period in which events are happening because it was more in the winter.
No, I'm not saying
but
that.
Yeah,
I guess I'm just saying it. It doesn't have to necessarily be every 2 years. I mean, we're in front of people, supposedly 18 times this year. And I'm not saying it has to be, I don't know how many questions, but I just think we are missing a big opportunity to get feedback from our customers. And I just think we should be doing a little bit more brainstorming around that.
Yeah, perhaps a condensed version of a survey or some kind of customer feedback, like on an iPad, could be something included. Like, we'll definitely workshop that.
Right.
And maybe not the 18, 22 questions, but perhaps, like, you know, like when you're at the Safeway checkout stand. Like, how was our service?
Like the hazardous waste that Mimi pointed out that people aren't familiar with. Maybe something around that.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you look at the data and you see where there are opportunities to... you know, to do a little bit more
like getting responses or customer feedback at the public events that were just approved at the last meeting is of interest, that it can definitely be something that we brainstorm and incorporate into our tabling events. Yeah, in some shape or form, and perhaps not, you know, like
it doesn't have to be a thesis, it can be 5 questions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Director Dean.
When was our survey period for this?
November through December.
And that's what I thought. So I only saw it posted on Instagram once and Facebook once. Did I miss something?
There was a running ad that we had through both platforms.
So how would I see that? Because so you'd have to be subscribed to the Oraloma. Because, I mean, I know that, like, I post all this stuff on Facebook. I repost it because we can't. Is it because you guys can't post on community groups? Is that what it is?
So we also posted on Facebook multiple times. There were multiple reminders. And as for the ads, you can't access it directly. They target you.
So they're in your news feed or your For You page or your home, depending on which app you're
at. Yeah, well, I follow Oraloma. And I only see one time that the survey came out, and then that's Facebook. And then I only see one time on Instagram. So I follow Oraloma. And so I'm just trying to figure out if I follow Oraloma and I can't see it, how are other people seeing it? That's what I just want you to try to explain to me how that works. And then I'd also like that question answered about, can you post on groups as Aura Loma, or is that why you don't post on groups? Because I'm the one that posts like on San Lorenzo Community, Fairview Connect, San Leandro Peeps. I'm the person who does that. So I'm just, those are just things I'd like, if you could tell me how that works, that'd be great. Because I can't see.
So reposting our ads to other groups, I think we talked about that at the last board meeting, and we were going to start doing that, but that was after the survey.
Well, I know, but so, I wanted to add, but can it be done?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, so it absolutely can be done. So then as far as only being able to find one Facebook post and one Instagram post, is it because it was only posted once and then it was an ad? Is that what you're saying?
I'm sure. I'm on the page right now and I see three on Facebook alone. So I'm not sure where the disconnect is. I actually see four. So, you know, if I'm looking here, there's one, another one.
On Aura Loma's page.
Yeah. And then like Terry mentioned, you know, and it depends on what app you're on, you know. And then I think we also did Nextdoor as well, where it's like when you're in your home page and you're scrolling through, you know, let's say on TikTok, and sometimes you'll get like a sponsored video or a sponsored ad, similar to what kind of CV San does. So I get them for CV San because I live in Castro Valley. But those who live in Aura Loma, when they're scrolling their For You page or they're scrolling their news feed on Facebook, we pay to be there, but it's not something you necessarily see when you go to our page. But like I mentioned, I on my end, and you know, I'm sure, you know, you're looking at the same page I am. But yeah, so we had like, for instance, on November 14th, we said, congratulations to Alan from San Lorenzo. That was our first winner. And then if you go below that, on November 7th is another post. On November 1st is another post. So I think we had, so yeah, and we can definitely take a look together at some point and see maybe like what.
I know it's all about repetition, right? That's what they told us at Castro Valley when we went to that workshop over at Castro Valley. It's all about coming back again and again and again. So I just want to make sure that we're doing that. All right, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so we have four.
I guess it's because they don't all look the same. They don't all look the same.
Slightly, yeah.
Yep, they don't look the same.
Similar, right. But not the same, correct.
Yeah.
What if I wanted to take this survey and it wasn't sent to me? Can I... you know, can I take it? I mean,
anyone. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Anyone. So it didn't, like, even if you're not one of the people who signed up for our monthly emails, even though we have a pretty good pool of people who have over 20,000. And even if you're not on that, you know, like I said, if you're on Nextdoor and you see it, or if you're on Facebook, like wherever you saw the QR code, and we did try to take a multi-targeted approach to get as many people. But yeah, sometimes it's not easy to make people get their phones out and do
it
something.
Never is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's rather repetition.
But I will say the people who won were extremely grateful and some of the sweetest people I think we've ever talked to, and really appreciated the follow-up with the gift card. And
did you ask them would they be on a video?
You know what? We didn't, but we communicated via email. So we might have to hit them up.
Okay.
Maybe we could get some more respondents for the next
one. Good job though.
When, as far as the awards, how many $100 were available?
So it was one per week, random drawing of one per week. It was a 6-week period, so we had 6 winners.
Great. Thank you.
And all very happy and thankful. So that was the fun part for us.
Like, Director Lee?
Yeah, based off some of the questions that were asked, that were asked, it'd be good to know what are the criteria available through some of those providers, you know, geofencing, address targeting, right? Because it sounds like basically their goal was to hit 20,000, and then we received roughly about 4% of the, not 4%, 400 responses, which is phenomenal. Knowing some of those different criteria would basically trigger some of the thoughts of the board in terms of, hey, can we add this criteria next time?
Thank you to everyone on the board for all their ideas and suggestions. And let me try to close this out with at least some positive comments. For your first year, Terry, I think you've done a miraculous job what we did in the past was in the past, and we didn't do a lot of work on making sure that the questionnaire got to where it should be. So thanks to you and Patricia for the work you're doing. And I know that the suggestions you're getting will help you recreate or add to for next year. So thank you again for the report. I am grateful. Do you have anything else, Mr. Dang?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. If there is nothing else, then thank you for the presentation, and we'll look forward to hearing about the next plan. All right. We'll move on to item 8, Authority Association Reports. 8.1, Alameda County Waste Management, Stop Waste. Director Duncan.
Okay, thank you. I attended the meeting on January the 28th, and we talked about regulatory fee ordinance, legislative priorities, and appointment to the recycle board. The regulatory fee ordinance is designed to enact a regulatory fee that would recover the agency's regulatory expenses. The solid waste service providers that serve Alameda County jurisdictions would be responsible for collecting the fee on the agency's behalf. The regulatory fee would be collected on the solid waste bill and remitted to the agency. The fees would go into effect July 1st, 2026. And the amounts are, for this regulatory fee, the single family, 30 cents per account per month, multifamilies, $1.10 per weekly cubic yard per month, commercials, $1.10 per weekly cubic yard per month, and the breed box is 25% per cubic yard for on-call collections. And then we talked about the legislative priorities for Stop Waste. And for 2026, we are still considering bills around building healthy food systems, supporting a thriving circular economy, and accelerating innovation in the construction sector. Under the building healthy food systems, there were two bills that we are watching. One is SB 353 by Alvarado Gill. It's an income tax credit food for food banks. And then the other is SB 881. It's a McNerney. It's another income tax credit for volunteer contributions to food bank. And then under the supporting a thriving circular economy, it's a new amended AB 643 by Wilson. It's the climate change, short-lived climate pollutant organic waste reduction bill. And another under that was AB 762, Irvin and Wilson, disposable batteries, embedded vapor inhalation devices are prohibited. And then Amendment SB 501, Allen, Responsible Battery Recycling Act of 2022 for covered batteries. And under the accelerating innovation in the construction sector, there was one bill that we're watching, which is, it's new, it's SB 22, it's a Weiner bill, residential heating pump systems for water heaters and HVAC installations. So those are the legislative bills that Stop Waste is as a priority for 2026 and what we'll be watching. The other discussion was around appointment to the recycling board. The vacancy represent one of the five appointments to the recycling board made by the WMA board. And I am excited to say that I was appointed to be on the board and have the opportunity to the term you can serve for 2 years. So that's my report. Mm-hmm. Any question?
Yeah, do you have some of those legislative bills electronically? It'd be helpful for you just to
Yes,
review
you
them.
Can send it my notes email.
Great.
I do have one question on the legislative fee, the regulatory fee. Who did you say is going to be responsible for billing that? Is it going to go on our waste bill?
Yeah, it would be waste management for us.
And so I assume Stop Waste is working with waste management? Or
yes,
waste?
For the
That's
answer.
All.
And also to communicate before July 1. To
it's a small amount, at least for now, but we know how that goes. Another year.
But that was one of the discussions is that, people don't want to see surprises.
Not sure what they mean by regulatory expenses anyway, but
what it means,
it's okay.
I know what it means. It's, for things like 1386, we're required to do that. So what a fee for that. What did I say?
Six.
Okay, that was my old address. Come on, brain. I'm at 22493 now. So
I know their budget, and I mean,
right. But what I was going to say is,
find a way to make
they did an extensive analysis.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
A great job. I was impressed. But anyway, as I said, I have another board to go to. So meeting.
I'll enjoy it.
Alex, what is that smile?
Hopefully, it's not at night.
actually, they are. They're
well. It's at 6 o'clock. It's alternate.
It's nighttime.
4 and 6, but I can zoom.
Oh,
that's good.
But I was surprised, Alex, that it was the requirement is that you can't miss over 2 meetings, otherwise
you're out and barred.
Once a month, or
yes,
you're out and barred.
I'm like, okay.
Well, congratulations on yet another appointment for you.
Thank you.
If there are no questions, we'll move policy review. 9.1, review of interim committee appointments board policy, Mr. Dang.
Yes, this policy deals with when there are board members for committee assignments that need to take absences, extended absences. So we've made some suggested edits to this policy. If you look at what's included in your packet is the red line version and a cleaned up version on page 46, sorry, 47. And essentially it talks about if you have or you think you're going to miss 3 consecutive meetings or more, we can coordinate having a substitute board member to fill in for that committee. And so this policy says as you, for example, if solid waste, if one either Director Duncan or Director Young is going to be out, or for example, for 3 consecutive meetings for 3 months for any reason, we can then go down the list based on this procedure and ask for the vice president to fill in or any other available board member for that duration on a temporary basis. So that's what this policy is about.
So there's no exception then for less than 3 meetings. So if you're just going to be absent 1 meeting, and it's
up to the board if they want to change that.
I'm just asking. Yeah. But there was nothing, as I recall, when I first joined the board all those years ago, there was an issue with Director Landis who couldn't get to a meeting, and they asked me to sit for him, but that was only 1 meeting. So.
So in the red line, the policy used to say during extended absences, and so that's not clear.
We didn't identify the extended.
Right. So we suggested 3, but the board can absolutely give staff direction on what that number, what they want that to be.
My question would be, why would anyone, let me phrase it correctly, why, if we only get, compensated for 6 meetings, why would I volunteer to be on another committee?
Well,
I'm just
to help the district.
Devotion to your work.
Is that right? I mean,
yeah. Well, but you only have 4 meetings now, theoretically. So if you know, the reality is this will rarely ever happen.
That was not going to be my other question. I'm just thinking. And for me personally, with the amount of boards that I'm on, I mean, if it works for someone, I'm fine. But I'm just saying, you know, because typically what we do is reschedule.
But if someone's going to be out for three consecutive meetings, maybe they had a heart attack or they're out for 3 months.
Please.
Maybe they had a baby or something that keeps them away from. I mean, I'm trying to think of things that would create.
Okay.
Although it's much more easy to participate remotely now than it probably was when this policy was first enacted. And so, you know, that's.
I don't have any problem with the way it's rewritten.
I don't either.
Anybody else?
I just won't be appointed.
And it does say interim community members may be requested to serve, right? So you don't have to accept.
Okay. But when you put go down the list, I'm thinking,
Rank. By rank.
Thank you for the answer, Alex.
So if there are no additional comments, I would entertain a motion to approve the recommended amendments.
Regularly, so moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carries 5 ayes. Thank you. 9.2, review of vehicle safety policy. Mr. Dang.
Yes, so 9.2 and 9.3 are related in the sense that they have to do with vehicles and driving standards. One is really for behavior of the employee when there's something wrong with the vehicle. Like I ask that if there's something wrong with the vehicle, you must report it to the district so that we can fix it. If there's an accident, you must report that to the district. And so that's what 9.2 is all about. And 9.3 is more along the lines of you need to have a decent driving record in order to stay to keep working at the district. So those are the two policies that are in front of us. But for 9.2, if we start with 9.2, essentially just states that the vehicles must be up to code, vehicle code, so there's no damage on the vehicle that is in violation of any department codes within the state of California, and that employees must drive in a safe manner. And also if there's anything broken, lamps, brakes, horns, mirrors, windshields, et cetera, they must report it so that we can fix it right away.
Thank you. Comments, Director?
I look at this. Do we follow up to see if the employees have active, regular driver license, or is that something we just do when they get hired?
I get it at first, and then based on the policy, we're supposed to check it every year. We pull their driving record.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does the same apply for, I know this is it, for forklift driving too?
No, you don't need a DMV license to drive a forklift. So
don't you need to be some kind of certification?
Yeah, you need to be certified to drive a forklift. And you renew that every 2 or 3 years. So that's an active renewal versus a driver's license, which could be, I don't know, what is it now, 10 years before you renew your license?
Okay.
Any other comments, questions? If there are none, I think, you have something, Director?
Yes, I do. Dean? So I thought I read somewhere that we automatically get these reports from DMV. Is that correct? Or do we have to request them?
Either way, we get them annually.
We get them annually.
Yep.
Finding that we have unsafe drugs?
No. No.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear. Perfect. All right.
Anything
that's
else?
That's my comments. Yep.
All right. Thank you very much. I think, Mr. Mogg, that we can take these safely together. So I would ask for a motion to approve the recommended versions to 9.2 and 9.3 as attached.
Director Lee, so moved on 9.2 and 9.3.
I'll second.
Thank you, Director Simon. The girls aren't working tonight. So I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say no. Motion carries 5 ayes. And thank you again to whichever board member it was Maybe it was all of us who suggested reviewing these policies, because it's pretty clear they all need to be revised.
Me, it's okay. You can take some credit.
No, I wasn't. I said whoever it was. We've talked about a lot of stuff, Rita, so I don't recall that it was precisely you. So
well, I will let you know it was precisely me.
Precisely. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was simply making a comment that it's a good thing we're doing it. And yes, we appreciate your work, Ms. Duncan. Thank you.
I aim to please.
All right, we'll move on to item 10, staff and director comments, general manager's report.
It's just two things. One is I wanted to offer myself to any clarifying questions on my monthly email that I sent out last week. If anyone has any questions on that, I can clarify.
Say that again, please.
The monthly email I sent out last week, just want to offer to the board if they have any clarifying questions on that email, I can add substance to that email.
Director Duncan.
I didn't have any to your email, but I did have some questions concerning the chart of the 18 events. I thought the request was to have a description of what was going to happen.
Yeah, that's in the PDF that we sent out. It is a page PDF on the right hand column.
Yeah. Big Excel file. Yes. I actually printed it out.
You want to I didn't see it. Maybe my computer.
Yep.
No, because that is what I saw. And
it's two pages. It's extended. It's a long Excel. If you put the two pages together side by side.
That's why I didn't see it. So. Thank you.
So can we all get a copy of that?
Yeah. No, to the entire board.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's when I opened it, it did not show the other columns. And so maybe
it was a two pager, was probably why. It was a little while before I saw it, too.
So I take that back.
any other comments, questions? Are you?
I do have one more thing, if yes, there are no ahead. Other comments on the email itself. Okay. So staff was given direction to start looking at venues for the upcoming redistricting hearings. Out of the five, one will be here, because this is also within our district. But four of them, we wanted to get a thumbs up from the board on these locations so that we can start talking to them and start booking these venues for those specific dates, because we need time to coordinate with them. So the first one, the four are Cherryland Community Center. Second is either Ashland Community Center / Reach Center. The third is Fairview Fire Station 8. And the fourth one would be Marina Community Center.
So if
the board has any comments or insight on that, we want to start working with those venues, start booking dates and finding out what their AV availability is, because if they don't have that and we're trying to broadcast it, I need to purchase a screen, a projector, and bring all this stuff with us to be able to broadcast this live, just as we do today.
Yeah, I'm fine with those, right? It would help to visualize them on the map with respect to the district where they're at. Even if we could just point to the map, this is where the location is.
Right, I know where all of them are.
You know where Marina Community is.
And Fairview. I was surprised.
And Ashland are just right next door.
I can pull up the Google map.
It's okay. I mean, I'm sorry. You can respond to him.
We both did.
I'm glad you went to the fire district for Fairview, because if you had gone to the San Felipe Community Center, I'm not sure if you would have had Wi-Fi and all of that stuff.
So Reach is like 164th and
Reach is
and East 14th.
Reach is about right here. You know, we're sitting here now.
So just in the left
on East 14th.
Marina's here. Reach is here. Fairview Fire Station is over here. And Cherryland is.
It says Cherryland. See where it says Cherryland?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That encompasses, that's pretty good spread about with our entire district there.
Marina is actually closer to the Mission Bay symbol. I think you pointed to the actual marina.
Sorry, yes. Rafa Wicks.
Yeah, there you go. The pink Mission Bay.
Just north of Mission Bay, the pink one. Yeah.
And you see where Fairview is?
Are you satisfied, Benny? You don't need a paper map, do you?
No, I just like to see it electronic.
I'm sorry.
Any other comments about the selection of yes, Director Dean?
So the one that we're going to have here is going to be what date?
It'll be the first one here. So February 24th.
I'm sorry, February 24th.
Okay. So in that one, we have all this set up. We're good to go.
Just give us more time to book the other venues later. Yeah.
No, I'm trying to get to the equipment. So that means that people can zoom in to the first meeting, but they might not be able to zoom in to these other four meetings because unless we buy equipment. So can we talk a little bit more about what that means to buy equipment, how difficult that is, how much that costs, that kind of hour spent? Can we talk about that?
Well, so I think if I understood Jimmy correctly, he's got to talk to them first to find out whether they...
Yeah.
So I think he'll come back. We'll put this on the agenda, or at the 24th, we'll be able to talk about it because it will be on the agenda at that time to talk about how much, if we need to buy equipment, how much it would cost and that sort of thing.
So, okay, the other part I'm trying to get at is, so it's potential if we don't buy equipment, then we're going to have all these meetings that nobody can zoom into.
That's potential.
All right, so that is sort of limiting the amount of public participation, which I'm not really into. I really think it's important for people to be able to be in person or be on Zoom at every single meeting. So if that means that we have to be at locations that already have the equipment like here, that's what I would be hoping for.
We'll know more about that on the 24th. Yeah,
well, go ahead.
I think Fred had his plan.
Well, I was going to talk about this at staff and director or comments from board of directors. I don't know if I can bring it up now.
Oh, well, perhaps not, unless it has to do with what he just
has to do with this. Yeah.
Well, then,
and it had to do with what Mimi was just talking about. And my thought, and we all have differing opinions, is for going remote and if it's going to cost more money and staff time and we're trying to be as efficient as we can with other workload that we're taking on, if we're going remote, then we would be in person at remote because we're going remote. So, I mean, not remote, off-site. So people should be able to show up off-site. I think if they're coming into Zoom, then they have this meeting to come Zoom. I'm just looking for efficiencies and ways to help us move this along as efficiently as possible.
So it seems like this discussion may be a little premature. I think Jimmy mentioned the four sites. He's going to reach out, see if they need if they have the AV equipment. And then at the next board meeting, at that first public hearing, you know, he'll be able to report back. Fairview Fire Station has it. We can do it there. This marina doesn't have it. Does the board want to buy it or cancel that one and have it in person here? Or, you know, can get direction from the board at that point once he finds out. You know, we don't know yet if they have it or don't have it. So it might be, there may not be an issue with any of them. They all may have this equipment and we may be good to go.
Director Lee.
So roughly about 8 years ago, I remember the Ashland Reach Center had, definitely was in a digital divide. They didn't have any broadband connection, nor did they have any Comcast connection historically. That may have changed because of the fact that we do have new services that are wireless, that have high-speed connectivity. But I think with each of those locations, one of the things that needs to be verified is the high-speed broadband connection, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to do the remote connectivity. So so obviously that needs to be verified with each of the locations. I know that the Marina Community Center is part of the Lit San Leandro, so they should have that high-speed connection. The other I'm not sure about the firehouse or the other places.
Okay.
I thought it was just for you to lean on the Macs. They have meetings, and you know where they're located. I know the fraud district was newly built, but I don't know about their wire, you know, the Wi-Fi and all of that Wi-Fi. But you may want to look at the locations where the Mac have their meetings because they're open. That's all I wanted to add.
Dr. Dean, did you have another comment? No. I think we look forward to the 24th, and yep. You can give us a report of what you have. And by then, you'll know more, right?
Well, I will be remote.
It's okay. We can remote. Yeah. You'll be in Washington. We can reach that far.
Oh,
and we will. All right. Anything else, Mr. Dang? Your next item.
Yeah, action items is a repeat from last month or 2 weeks ago when we had the last board meeting, which is Cargill is to be determined, the CAC report I'm planning on bringing to the board in April, and then the food expenses audit next month.
Okay.
Food expenses audit.
And also this staffing survey report, final report.
Yeah, that'll be in March. Yep, because I'll get the first draft February 23rd.
Okay, consultant. Okay. Right? I mixed it.
Okay, we're going to move on to item 10.3, comments from staff and board directors. Anything from you, Mr. Mogg? Anything else from you, Director Dan?
No, thank you.
Patricia? Chatu, do not speak so loudly. Nice to have you here. Good for you for hanging in with the whole board meeting. I'll start with Director Simon.
Thank you, staff, again, for all the work you're doing. And welcome again, Chatu. Very happy to have you here. I do have another thumbs up I'd like to propose. I'll give a little background on it. I was reached out to by the organizers for the San Leandro Cherry Festival, and they were concerned that we weren't attending. And I expressed to them why we weren't attending. We have to share our attention to unincorporated. And they expressed concern again, you know, really want us to come. And one option that we could do, want to give thumbs up if we can add it to the next agenda, is to bring the table back to at least talk about adding Cherry Festival back, is for board only support at the Cherry Festival, so it would not involve staff support to keep the cost down, and then we could partner with a waste management table. That's the concept that's thrown out there, and wanted to see if we can talk about that at the next meeting.
They also approached me with the same thought. Does everybody want to bring that back to the next meeting?
Only if they waive the fee.
Well, I have two thumbs up for you at the moment. I don't think we can discuss it. All we're doing is getting a thumbs up.
Yeah, we can discuss
for it. Discussion next meeting.
All right.
Okay. Great. Correct. Is that correct, Mr. Mogg? I didn't speak out of turn.
No, that's correct.
Thank you. 30. All right. Then we'll put it on the next agenda for discussion. Anything else, Director Simon? Director Dean?
I am just wondering about the MOU update and when all that's going to take place. Do we have any information on that?
We have another meeting with them at the end of this month.
Has it been changed since we last saw it? And do we have a copy of how it's been changed?
Well, we added, you guys don't have a copy right now, but we went from 2 events to 4 training events per the board's request, and then we also included language about changing the culture of the students to want to sort and so forth. So we have that draft right now to San Lorenzo Unified for upcoming discussion.
Is there still potential to be able to change anything, or no, or is it too late? And do I have to get a thumbs up to talk about this
If you want on a future agenda, it needs thumbs up. If you just want to send your comments to.
I really went over this whole thing, and having worked in the schools for 32 years, this, like I said before, it's just too vague. It's just really too vague, and it's you know, it's just too easy. It's just, yeah, it's too vague.
When you have your next meeting, you'll be bringing it back to the committee before it's signed, sealed, and delivered, correct? Maybe you could give him your ideas offline.
We wanted to talk about it.
I didn't know that there was more than one of you. I guess you've already talked about it.
We're going to bring it back after we get the school district's viewpoints on them. We'll have another opportunity to provide feedback again and adjust if we need to and so forth. It's ongoing. The discussions are ongoing.
We come in and we give them, if we are too easy on them, you know, I think feel like we need to be harder on them. We want them to comply, right?
So. We want them to comply. So I feel like if we come in and, you know, are too easy on them, then it's going to be harder for us to get more standards in place. You know, so I just think we're too easy on them. And I am kind of wondering, we went to that whole thing over in Castro Valley, and I'm wondering if we've looked at the MOU that Castro Valley has. So I'd really like to talk about that. You know, their whole Green Schools program. And that whole thing, and it kind of bounces into what is going in on our schools right now. So I'd like to add that. Three thumbs up. Can I get some, please? I really want to talk about this stuff. Thank you.
Oh, were you planning to bring it back the first meeting in March, Mr. Dang? We have a fairly big agenda for the 24th, including the public hearing. So if they're meeting at the end of February, we get it the first week of March, wouldn't that be okay?
Second week of March.
Well, whatever the, well, when the is first it board meeting in March.
When is it going to San Lorenzo?
At the end of the month. But what I can do is reschedule that meeting so that we can capture the board's comments first before we go back to San Lorenzo.
And we're going to meet with Waste Management soon, right? Aren't we having?
Yeah, they're going to do a
presentation.
It's a workshop.
Yes. Waste Management will be providing a presentation at the March workshop.
We'll be able to talk about the franchise agreement at that point. So I don't need to get a three thumbs up for that.
Part of that presentation.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. A good meeting, and it's just 6:15. I'm excited.
Not over yet.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, I'll hold my excitement. I'd like to get a three thumbs up on the smart truck amendment for us to have a collective discussion around the smart truck amendment that we need to have a discussion, I believe, before we meet with WM.
So that is coming to the board from the Solid Waste Committee. That was the direction from the Solid Waste Committee.
Right, but we will have time to discuss it. Okay, as long as I'm there, I'm happy. A lot of work, good meeting. And welcome again, Tatu. Okay.
I have nothing to add other than next week is Chinese New Year's, right? And it's Year of the Horse. Right. That's when a lot of traditions come in, right? And a lot of the culture comes in. We celebrate Chinese New Year for roughly about 2 weeks, and it's going to be a fantastic year. The horse represents pride, strength, right, and nobility. And that's something that I definitely look forward to in this coming year.
Yes.
Guys are not single, right? Technically, right? And you have to be young age.
Well, I resent that remark. I mean, I resemble that remark. All right, so it I would be the last speaker before we close the session. I appreciate the work of the staff for this agenda. I know it's been a lot of work that we have not seen behind the scenes. Welcome, Chatu, to our meeting. We like you, but you can't stay for the closed session. So this meeting, current meeting, is adjourned to a closed session, and all essential personnel may stay and unessential personnel may leave. Thank you. I should say non-essential, not unessential. No.